Hear the word of the Lord from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over it. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen? Please be seated. What if God was like a man who walked into a cafe one day with a box of donuts just to give to a man just because he wanted to bless him, just because he saw him and had compassion and love for him, and so he blessed this young man by giving him a box of 10 donuts. And what if all this man asked for in return was that he give him back one donut, just as a way to give this young man the opportunity to know the joy of sharing, and to know the joy of also knowing love and compassion? You see, this is at the heart of tithing, to give back to the one who has blessed and who has graced our lives with everything that we have, to give back a portion of all that has been given to us as a way of showing our love, and that we get it, that we get that life is to be shared, and that in sharing we reflect the image of the one who has shared with us. Oh my goodness, the pastor has just sprung on us a stewardship sermon, hadn't he? Yes, I have. But you see, the Israelites, they got it. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 and 32, we hear the word of the Lord given to Moses. He says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruits from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord." You see, the Israelites, they understood that everything they had, that all that they were, their health, their wealth, their flocks, their fields and homes, the very breath they took of every moment of every day was a gift from God. And that gift is to be shared. A tithe, a tenth of everything that was returned to the Lord. And not just any tenth, but the very best of what they had. Not giving God what was left over, if there was anything left over, but giving God the very first of what they had, the first fruits. 2 Chronicles 31, we see the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine and olive oil and honey and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. And the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God. And they piled them in heaps. They began this in the third month, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and they blessed his people Israel. I want to tell you, it is a joy. Church, it is a joy to give as the Lord has shown us how to give. You see, giving sets us free from ourselves and allows us to be a part of something so much bigger than us. Giving allows us to truly practice love and compassion and care and kindness and understanding and hope and a whole host of other good fruits. Giving our tithe blesses us. It truly does. Giving our tithe is truly a spiritual act by which we show God that we get it. That to be a kingdom person, reflecting His image in our life, is to be a person who shares, is to be a person who loves and has compassion for others and for the work that God has for us to do in this wonderful world that He has given us to care for. You know, one of the most spiritual things a person can do is tithe. You know that? Probably the most amazing spiritual thing a person can do is tithe. Because you see, it unites us with the one who has given us everything. The one who has even sent His Son so that we might have eternal life. God has given all. And when we tithe, we are saying, I also want to give. And I want to give it significantly. Just as God has given us significantly by giving Him His very self, we want to give significantly. Now, have you ever wondered, does God need my tithe? Does God really need your tithe? Now, think about that. Let me answer that question. No. No. God doesn't need your tithe to make His church grow, or to even make this world a better place, or to bring about some great significant event that's going to change the cosmos. Think about this. All God had to do was speak the word, and the whole world come into existence. All God did was just imagine the stars and the vastness of the universe, and there it was, created just by His imagining. God took just a little bit of dirt from the ground and mixed in it with a little bit of water and breathed His life into it, and you and I were formed, created in His image. So do you really think that God needs my $15 or $20 or $50 a week just to keep things going? I mean, come on, really? Really? You know, there's a lot of people out there that are talking about how the church may very well not be here in 20 years, that the way our society is moving and how younger people are not attending in the numbers that has at one time, and how the church is moving into this cyber world and out of the local neighborhoods, that the church possibly will cease to exist in the next 20 or 30 years. And I want to tell you that concerns me. That scares me to death to think of our world, our country, without the church. And I tell you, I could just get all down on that and all depressed and all overcome, but you know what? God is greater than any problem, be it political or social or economic or religious or environmental, any problem that we may face as a nation or as a church, including the doomsayers that are predicting the end of the church. I want to tell you, if God has created the heavens and the earth, which I believe He has, and that God is the God who will be over all, and that He has continued to create, don't you think that God is big enough to overcome the crisis of the doomsayers? Don't you think? And don't you think that God is even big enough to move the church along, even if every church in America closed its doors? I think so. I think so. But I don't think that's going to happen, because the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And through the church, God will bring to fruit all the plans that He's made. God is big enough to accomplish God's plan. Always has been, always will be. Amen? So does God need my $15 or $20 or $50 or whatever a week just to keep things going? Did God need that grain and olive offering a few thousand years ago? Did God need that tenth lamb and goat or cow in order to keep his stomach fed? Did he? No. You know, God could have created all the goats and sheep and cows and wheat and oil in such vast quantity that the whole universe couldn't even hold them all. God could create enough silver and gold and Ben Franklins that could fill up every square inch of this earth. Could he not? Tithing is not about giving to God what is due. Tithing is not about giving to God so that God can use those dollars to touch others, even though he does do this. Tithing is about what happens to us when we give, when we reflect the image of our loving God who has created us to be his image in our world. See, that's why tithing is a spiritual thing. You get that? Get that? This is why tithing is a spiritual thing. It really has nothing to do at all with money, our goats, our wheat, our donuts. It has to do with whose image I reflect, mine or the Lord's. A man walks into a cafe with a box of 10 donuts, and he gives these donuts to a young man sitting here at this table just because he wants to bless them. But then this gift giver asks this young man for just one of them back. I don't think he probably wanted it back because he was hungry. He wanted to see if the gift receiver had certainly learned anything. 10%, one back. And this young man found every reason that he could not share the gift that he had just been given, even though just moments before he had zero donuts and he had no clue that he was going to be even getting donuts. This young man, he says to the gift giver, "I'm really hungry and I miss breakfast this morning," as he munches on his donut, as he enjoys that donut, and "I'll probably miss lunch," and he's in a cafe. "And I was going to take these home to my wife and my kids," as he takes and he puts his arm over them and he pulls them close, and "to be honest, they really have to last me a whole week." You know, it's easy to see the folly of this young man who hoards his donuts. It doesn't even enter his mind to give as he's been given, to reflect the image of the gift giver. All he can think about is how his life is going to be different without that one donut. See, no doubt the opposite of sharing is hoarding. Holding on with everything we can to everything we can. The Bible calls this greed. And greed can paralyze your spirit, and it can keep a person from growing into the image that God has for you. And we know the Israelites, we know that they dealt with the same paralyzing spirit at times. The book of Malachi tells how many of the Israelites were withholding their tithe to the temple because they were afraid of losing what they worked so hard to get. And God uses some very harsh words to those hoarding their donuts. He says, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." You see, God wants us to give a tithe. A significant amount that will not paralyze us, that will not cause us to go into financial ruin, but a tithe, 10%, just enough to make us miss it, and just enough to be a significant amount that we really notice when we give. How do you feel when you think about this young man who is hoarding this gift of 10 donuts that were given to him? He had 0 donuts before he was approached by this gift giver, and now he has 10, but yet he will not share even one. What words come to your mind when you think of this young man and what he's doing? Now, come on. What words come to your mind? Huh? Selfish. Tightwad. Jerk. Really? Stingy.
Insecure.
Insecure.
Ungrateful.
Ungrateful.
Fear.
Fear. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. What if this young man who had just received this gift of 10 donuts would ask for one of them? He replied this way: I really can't give you a whole donut because, you know, I'm probably going to miss lunch, and I need to take them home to my family, and they really have to last me a whole week. So I tell you what, I'll give you half of a donut, or maybe 2 or 3%, a bite of my donut. And he takes the donut and he tears off just a little bite and gives it to the man. Now, do those words that I asked you a moment about, how do you feel, change? Do they change a whole lot? Probably not. Probably not. And why is that? Because, you see, 2 or 3% is really not that much of a sacrifice, is it? 5%, it's getting there, but it's only halfway. You see, 10%, it's God's directive, not mine. It's not the church's directive. It's not the directive of some financial guru that came up with at one time or another, but 10%. A tithe is the amount that stretches us just enough, but not so much to bring us harm. It's the amount that will cause us to truly give sacrificially, and it allows us to truly know the joy in being a gift giver. That's truly what tithing is about. It is the joy of being the gift giver, one who is in partnership with God and who knows that, one who gets that, one who is sharing his good gifts, his love, and his compassion with others. Listen, tithing has always been a spiritual issue, a faith issue. It's always been a heart issue. We are blessed by the Lord. And because of our blessing, we are to be a blessing as we generously open up our hearts and our hands to God. So here's what I want you to do with this today. For those of you who are tithing, and I want to just encourage you to continue to give as the Lord has blessed you. And you know the joy of this. I know you will continue because you know the joy of the Lord in this. For those of you who are close to tithing, I want to encourage you to tithe. There you go. Just tithe. See what happens. For those of you who are maybe giving 2% or 3% or maybe 5%, I want you to consider increasing that amount by 1%. For the month of December. Just for the month of December. See what happens. See what happens. And if the Lord blesses you, and I think He will, then continue through the next quarter or so with that same percent. And then maybe by the next quarter or by mid-year, increase that by another percent. And see what happens. Because I got a feeling you'll not miss it. I got a feeling that you'll gain so much joy and so much knowing that you get it. Now, I want you to understand something else too. As your pastor, I want you to know that it really is all right. It really is okay to be at 1%. of your tithe, of your giving. It's okay to be there. It's okay to be at 2% or 3% or 6.5%. It's okay to be there now. We have to begin somewhere. But it's not okay to stay there. You see, with faith comes growth and transformation. To have faith is to trust the Lord enough that He will supply all of my needs. So trust the Lord as you make your covenant with Him in your giving. And know without a doubt that as you sacrificially give, man, you're going to be blessed as you reflect the image of the one who is shared with you and with all. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for your sharing with us. Not donuts, Lord, but everything that we have, all that we are, is this incredible gift from you. Our health, our work, our family, everything that we are, all that we are, is this incredible gift. And God, we get it. And so we want to return to you, Lord, our tithe. Just as the Israelites did, just as all of your people have done throughout time, who truly get it and to know what it is to reflect your image. Lord, bless each heart and each life here. We know, Lord, that there are those in our congregation who are struggling financially. And Father, help them to know that it's okay to where they're at. It's okay in their giving where they're at. But Lord, help us to move on, to maybe give a little more, and to just see what happens and how you truly are the one who throws open the storehouse and you bless, and that jar of manna never runs out. God, give us faith. You've given us the heart. Give us faith, Jesus, to trust you and what you reveal to us and what you show to us. In every way we give you thanks, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all, and may you know His peace. Amen.